Father God, we just thank you for this teaching. Amen. I hope this is enriching, right? That your life is enriched by the teachings, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because what God wants us to do is to walk in the supernatural. God wants every Christian believer to be walking in power in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we began and we learned that understanding the Holy Spirit, we learned about being dependent on the Holy Spirit, and the one thing for sure that we know that we need to continue to become God and Spirit conscious, meaning that we need to know without a doubt that we know that He is in us and He's working through us. In Jesus' name. And if you hear anything being repeated today, listen, God is trying to get that deep down in the inside of you. Amen. So He's not only ministering to you, He is ministering to me. As I lean on His word, as I study His word, you know, God is revealing some awesome things in our lives. And that's what He does during Bible studies. He is bringing more and more revelation power into our lives. The world has sense knowledge, right? But we have revelation knowledge. It's more powerful.
Amen.
We're not led by the five senses. We are led by faith. And that is revelation knowledge by the Spirit of God. Amen. And another thing is, we don't need more anointing. We don't need more giftings from the Holy Spirit. Everything that we need is already in the inside of us.
Hallelujah.
Everything. Church, everything. You don't need more. You already got exactly what you need to live the empowered life that God called us to live. To live in the supernatural. We are ordinary people living a supernatural life because of Christ. We are spiritual beings living in a human body. Amen?
Yep.
But we are sons and daughters of Christ, and He wants the best, the best for us. Amen? Hallelujah. So I want you, Sister Rosie, I think we were teaching on Philemon chapter 6. We had this in the study, Philemon chapter 6. We studied this on Tuesday. Amen. But I want to turn there because that's where we're going to begin today. All right? And I think it's a little tiny book. It's just one book, right? And I believe it was before Hebrews. Just in case, because I had a trouble finding it on Tuesday. Amen. But Philemon 6. Amen. And this is what it says. Well, let's start from 4. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Every good thing is in you in Christ Jesus. What is this saying? This is saying that every born again believer, that's us, right, has the faith of God. That means that the possession of faith, which is not the issue right now, because honestly, we don't need to beg God to give us more faith. Like I said before, we don't need more anointing. We don't need more giftings. We don't need more faith, right? We need to learn to release what we already have in us. Amen. So
Amen.
And that's what Paul was praying in this verse, that our faith works when we acknowledge all of the good things that are in us in Christ Jesus. And sad to say, it is sad to say that many of us, right? Many of us are not aware of all the good things in us in Christ. And unfortunately, it's sad to say that many of us Christians have bought the lie that there isn't any good thing in us. I know for a long time I believed that lie, that I didn't have any good thing inside of me, that I wasn't worth anything, that I had no value. But I thank God that God opened my eyes to see what was truly in the inside of me. Amen. And He saw me with worth. He saw me with value, because my value doesn't come from me. My value comes from Christ and Christ alone. Amen. But for a long time, I did not see my worth. I did not know my identity in Christ. And I thank God that today I can truly say that I know who I am in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's turn now to the first book of John, chapter 3, verse 24. Thank you, Jesus. This is what it says. Now he who keeps his commandments, 1 John 3:24. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, in God, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Amen. Church, we're talking about the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. That is working in and through us. Amen. And you know, if he begins by saying, now he who keeps his commandments. Well, what are the commandments? Let's go to the previous verse, right? 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Amen. So here in verse 23, it clearly states that it is to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to love one another. That is his commandment. That's it. And all the law can be summed up in these two commandments. And the last part of this verse is saying that the same thing as in John 3:3, which we're not going to go there, but remember when the Lord went, when Nicodemus went to the Lord, he says, how can one be born again? Remember? So yeah. The Lord Jesus said to him, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And church, we can have assurance that we are born again because of the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives today.
Yes.
We have the Spirit of the Lord living in the inside of us. We have the Helper. We have our beautiful Counselor guiding us every day, talking to us every day. Amen. We have His abiding presence. His presence not only in us, it's all around us. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to the book of Ephesians 3, verse 20. Love this verse. Amen. Book of Ephesians 3:20. And this is what it says. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Yes, a lot of people stop in the beginning and say, yeah, God can do it all. He can do exceedingly. He can do abundantly above all that we ask or think, and they stop there. But that's a condition. It says here, according to the power that works in us. In other words, God needs us. God needs us. Amen? It's according to the power that is working in each and every one of us. And this verse right here ties the use of his ability to the power that works in us. God's ability. It is God's power working through each and every one of us.
Amen.
And what that means, no power working in us means there will be no power of God coming through us. Amen?
Amen.
And when the Lord went to heal the people, you know, it was the power of God being released through him, because the power of God is the one that was working through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Power working.
Amen.
But we need,
Amen.
God's looking for availability, because it's not our ability, it's his ability working through us.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. And Christ Amen. Is the power and wisdom of God. And let's go there, because it's in scripture, right? So let's go there. 1 Corinthians 1:24. Just in case you didn't know that. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1:24. It says, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ is the power and wisdom of God. In Christ are hid all treasures. Remember last week we spoke about the treasure that we have within our bodies is the glory of God. We are glory carriers. And in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And who lives in the inside of us? Christ himself, the hope of glory. So the gospel is the power of God. And this is the truth. Until people receive Christ, they are always missing the crucial element that would give them the true wisdom and knowledge of God. If you don't accept the Lord as a savior of your life, if you don't accept the Lord Jesus, you don't have revelation knowledge. You're still living under the sense knowledge, the worldly knowledge. But we have Christ. We have the hope of glory living in the inside of us. And because of that, we have revelation knowledge, supernatural Amen. Wisdom of Amen. God. And that's the best understanding that one can ever have. Amen?
Amen.
And I want to, you know, I mentioned in the beginning of these lessons, I mentioned about the seven spirits that are mentioned in the Word of God, and we're going to be speaking about there's seven of them, but we're going to be touching on one of them today because of time. Amen. But here we have, the Bible speaks about seven spirits, yet there's only one spirit. Amen. And I want you to turn to the book of Revelation 1:4. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this teaching. And Revelation 1:4 says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. In the Amplified Version, seven spirits is translated as the sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Amen.
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 So here we have, hallelujah, praise God for his word, right? We have here Revelation right now. Amen. And because honestly, when you read this verse right here, many people read it about many people read the seven spirits of God in the book of Revelation and wonder, are there seven different Holy Spirits? You know what I mean? And the answer is no. There is only one Holy Spirit. And as we know, the number seven in Scripture often represents fullness, perfection, and completeness. Amen. And as we also know, because we are believers and we have revelation knowledge, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, of the Godhead. And throughout Scripture, throughout the whole Bible, you know, we see that many ministries of the Holy Spirit working in the lives of God's people.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And before we get to those, I want to go to Ephesians 4:4 first. So let's go to the book of Ephesians 4:4. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians 4:4 says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One body, one spirit, and we have all been called. We have all been called by Christ Jesus, right? So here, for the Apostle Paul, you know, he was writing this because for him, this unity among believers and this unity among the churches was unacceptable. And he made this a major issue in when he wrote the letters to the Corinthians, if you recall. You know, the church had was in so much strife and chaos and division at the time. And what he's saying here is that we are one body, church. We are one body in Jesus Christ. And we all have one spirit giving us life. And we all have the same hope of seeing Christ and being transformed into his likeness, transformed to his image. We've all been there because we arrived. We accepted the Lord. Amen. The Lord transformed our lives. When we accepted the Lord as our Savior, there was transformation, not just change. There was transformation that took place in our lives. We were born again. That means the spirit that was dead within us became alive. It was ignited by God. Amen. Hallelujah. We were born again. We were heading straight to on death row. But God awakened us. He pulled us in. We bought that bait and we were reeled in. Amen. And because of that, the best decision that we've ever had made in Christ Jesus is accepting him as our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
So, you know what this is saying? We all have one Lord who is our master, and there's only one faith, and that is in Christ Jesus. There's one atonement in Christ Jesus. There's one baptism in Christ Jesus. And we are all family, amen, because we all share one God and Father, amen?
Amen.
We're all family. There should never be any division among believers. We are family of one faith, of one God. And one God is above all and through all. Amen?
Amen.
And what he's doing, he's working through us, in us, all of us, because he indwells in every single believer. Amen? God is the one working it out. Everything he's working it out is through us. He's in us and he's working everything through us. Amen.
Amen.
We just need to be available to God so he can do his work through us. Amen. So I want to go now to, you know, there is there's a sevenfold ministry of the Spirit of God. And that sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit represents his perfect work in the Spirit that works in us and through us. Amen. And the sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit, you know what it does? It reveals how He works to save, to transform us, to empower us, to guide us, and to mature believers in the Word of God. So, you know, the Spirit of God has a lot of different functions, and there's seven. It's sevenfold. Amen. And we, in the next few weeks, we are going to examine these seven powerful ministries and works of the Holy Spirit. And there's seven of them. And it's the Spirit of the Lord is one of them, which we're going to talk about today, which is the work of conversion. Amen. The Spirit of life, right, which is the work of justification. The Spirit of holiness, which is the work of sanctification. I mean, we mentioned these a few weeks ago when we first started the lessons. Amen. And I said later on, we're going to break down each and every one of them. We have the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of truth. We have the Spirit of supplication, and we have the Spirit of power. Amen. So we're going to talk about today about the Spirit of the Lord, which is the first one, which is the work of conversion. And it is, as we know, it is the Holy Spirit that draws people to the Lord. Were you drawn to the Lord by the Holy Spirit? You didn't know it at the time. But guess what? God used another vessel to draw you to hear the good news of the gospel. Whether it was at a church meeting or a house meeting, whether it was on the streets, it doesn't matter. God, the Spirit of the Lord, drew you to Him. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. And in the Greek, the word Lord is kurios, right? And that's what it's talking about here, because it means the supreme authority, the master of all. That's the word that it translates to, the word Lord in the Greek. Amen. And I just want to expand it a little bit more. So let's go to the Gospel of John, and let's go to, I believe it's chapter 4. No, chapter 6, verse 44. Let's go to the Gospel of John, 6:44. We're talking about the Spirit of the Lord, amen, the work of conversion, which is the first sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit. In John 6:44, it says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Amen. And, you know, when we read this verse right here, this is a great truth from the Bible here, right? God is the one that draws us to Himself through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. God drew you and I to Him. Yeah, God called, God chose, but He drew us to Him. Amen. I remember when I willingly heard the gospel news, heard the truth of the word, something in the inside of me began to rattle and wake up and think differently. And I was the one that chose to walk up to the altar and receive the Lord. Amen. And we all have an experience. Amen. How we receive the Lord. And the Holy Spirit's role is to point us to the supreme lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's what He did with all of us. Amen. And this is the truth. Just acknowledging, right, that God exists is not enough. Church is not enough. Just knowing that He exists is not enough. Just acknowledging that Jesus is Lord is not enough. You know, you can be in church, but sometimes it doesn't equal you being in Christ. Amen. Yeah. You can just be in church and be an spectator, right?
Right.
But that doesn't mean you're in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
There are many people that go to church and it resembles this formula. In Christ does not equal in, in church does not equal in Christ. And we know some of them. Why? Because the Word of God says that by their fruit, you will know them.
Hallelujah.
So when we see, we witness, right? People, so-called Christians, but when we don't see the fruit of the Spirit in their life, we can actually put that little formula and say in church, but it doesn't equal in Christ. Amen? Because we don't see the fruit being produced. Because when you're in Christ, amen, and I wasn't going to go there, but I'm going to go there. You don't need to go there. But when we are in Christ, and if we go to Galatians 5:22, right? I wish I can just point to the Bible and just get the scripture, but no, I have to search for it. When you're in Christ, this is the fruit that is produced: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All these are evident in your life. Evident. Read them. Read them. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. Long-suffering is patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Faithfulness. That means we're walking by faith. Gentleness and self-discipline, self-control. This is what the fruit of the Spirit produces in us. And if we're not seeing this in other so-called Christians, they're not really in Christ. Amen?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So there's a difference. Listen, even the devil believes there's a God. Yeah, we know where he's going, right?
Uh-huh.
He's going to burn in hell. Amen? So even the devil believes there's a God. But look at what James 2:19 says. Let's go to the book of James. I pray that you are receiving revelation knowledge from the Lord. Amen? Because that's where it's at today. Revelation. So James 2:19, look at what it says. It says, you believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Okay? So what is this saying? This is saying that just acknowledging the existence of the one true God is not doing anything that demons haven't done. Because demons know very well who God is and that he does exist. But the demons are not saved. They haven't received salvation. It's not for them. All their actions are against the lordship of Jesus. Because they are totally anti-Christ. They are against anything that Christ has done. This is why he's against us. Because we become joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So, we have to do something the devil and demons haven't done, and that is to answer the call of God in our lives. And how do we do it? We do it by faith. Faith in the Son of God. So just acknowledging that his existence, right, without actions of submission to his lordship, puts us in the same category as the devil himself and his demons. So acknowledgement is not enough, church.
That's right.
And the reality is that, you know, hell will be full of people who acknowledge the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, but never surrendered, never acted on that faith in humble submission to him. So a lot of people, they may have the knowledge of God. Yeah, God exists and this and that, and they may say anything, right? But if you don't act upon that which you have freely received from Christ by faith. If you don't accept the Lord Jesus, sorry to say, you're going to go to another place, and it's not going to be with the Father. Amen? Hell is real. Hell is real. Hell is real. Amen? So we are born again Christians. And
hallelujah.
Let me tell you, when does the true ministry of conversion happen, or when does it begin? It begins when we recognize the Lord Jesus as our Savior and Lord of our life, right? So
hallelujah.
We need, you know, we all prayed and we confessed from the heart, and we willingly, because otherwise we wouldn't be here today, we willingly submitted to His life. Amen. To the life of our Lord. I said, Lord, we wanna partner with you, right? We wanna make you our Lord and Savior. Amen. That's why we're here today. We didn't just acknowledge that the Lord God exists, that God exists, that the Godhead exists. We actually put action behind our confession of words. Amen. And let's go there. I know we know this well, but let's go to Romans 10:9, because I just want to dissect that just a little bit. Let's go to Romans 10:9. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your heart, no, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus,
amen,
and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. And we've all, everybody in this platform, I believe we've all been there. Amen. So this verse is not merely saying that anyone who just says the words Jesus is Lord and believes that He rose from the dead is born again, right? No, you have to confess. And this word confess translates to, and it means more than just saying those words. It literally means to covenant, to acknowledge, amen, to be in a bond together, really. So it really literally means that you are making covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. This confession of the Lord Jesus Christ has to be from the heart. Amen. It has to be heartfelt. See, God looks at our hearts. Amen. So He knows whether that confession was a true confession from you or I, right? So the Lord Jesus, this confession has to be heartfelt, right? Has to be a declaration of faith, because none of us saw the Lord standing in front of us. None of us saw God. But we were moved, amen, we were moved by what we heard. And faith comes by hearing, by the word of God. That's how we were able to confess the Lord Jesus as our Savior, because we made a declaration of faith in Jesus as God manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit. Amen.
Amen.
We made a heartfelt confession.
Mm-hmm.
And God wrote us in. And God sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise.
Amen.
Amen. So this verse is a promise to those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to the extent that they are willing to change their actions. Because remember, it doesn't just stop there. It doesn't stop just because you're saved, doesn't mean now you have no work to do. No, God wants you to multiply yourself now and share the good news of the gospel.
Yes.
Amen. So now that you received Him, right, you got to put action behind what you received, behind your words, behind what you confessed. So now,
right.
Amen, that means you're willing to change. And walk according to what you have confessed about Jesus being the Lord of your life. And with your mouth, right? That's why you confess. With your heart, you believe. And guess what? You were saved. You receive salvation. You believe in your heart and make confession with your mouth, and that resulted in you having salvation. Amen. That is God's perfect redemption plan that He put into place. And thank God that we know who we are in Christ. We received a new identity in Him. Then nobody can taint that but you. No one can touch it. Amen. God has placed a standard, a boundary, a shield around you. Nobody can taint it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to go now to the book of Isaiah. We're going to go to chapter 11. The book of Isaiah, chapter 11. I'm just going to read verse 1 and part 1 from that book. Verse 2. Isaiah 11:2. We could read the whole verse. We're just going to concentrate in 1, right? The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon you, upon Him. No, right? The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon Him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Amen. We're talking, you know, this is the prophet Isaiah speaking, hallelujah, about how the Spirit of the Lord was going to fall on the Messiah, right? It's speaking about the presence of God resting upon His people, the ones who said, I want to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. But we're talking about today about the Spirit of the Lord, one of the sevenfold ministry and works of the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of the Lord that when you say yes to the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord began to rest upon you. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord began to reveal Himself to you. He revealed the presence of God in you. He revealed the presence of God around you. He brought divine authority. He anointed you for service. He equipped you, Father God, for ministry. This is what the Spirit of the Lord did. Rested upon you when you said yes to Him. And this prophetic word from the book of Isaiah, you know, it just spoke about a branch. If you go to the previous, it speaks about a branch that will grow out of His roots. Amen. That it was talking about the Messiah. It was a prophetic word. How the Messiah was going to come, and he was going to be anointed because the Spirit of the Lord Himself would rest upon Him so He can do the works that God called Him to do here on earth for the 3.5 years that He did ministry. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord, church, is resting upon us today.
Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord. Can you even fathom that the Spirit of the Lord is in you? The Spirit of the Lord is giving you authority. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed you for service. This is why we're here.
Right.
The Spirit of the Lord has fully equipped you. You know, the Word of God says that those I call, I equip. You know, I had a hard time believing that. I didn't think I was equipped to pastor, let alone lead a church. And God had to remind me over and over and over. He kept reminding me, no, I call you, I equip you. You're equipped. You're equipped for ministry. And I want to end with this verse, because when the Lord Jesus when he was alive on earth, one day he went into the synagogue, and this is what he declared. Let's go to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke 4:18.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your word.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Look what Luke 4:18 says. This is such a powerful scripture. You know, I'm going to begin from 6. I'm going to begin from 16, okay? So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me."
Hallelujah.
And that's a capital M-E. The Lord Jesus was speaking about himself. This is prophecy being fulfilled here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Church,
hallelujah.
The Spirit of the Lord Jesus said, is upon it. It was upon him. But when you receive the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior, guess what? The Spirit of the Lord is now upon you. Upon you and I. The Spirit of the Lord, what it did was he anointed the Lord Jesus to preach the gospel. First of all, then the word he preached, right, was confirmed with signs and wonders, right? The brokenhearted began to be healed. The captives began to be delivered. The blind began to receive sight. And the bruised began to be set free. And let me tell you something. Everything that the Lord Jesus accomplished flowed from the anointing of the Spirit of the Lord. And guess what? Today we have the Spirit of the Lord resting upon us.
Hallelujah.
And I did say that was the last scripture, but the Lord is bringing me to the last scripture now. First book of John 4:17. That's what we're going to end with. Thank you, Lord. 1 John 4:17.
Amen.
1 John 4:17 says, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." Amen. So this is to say that as the Lord is, as the Spirit of the Lord rested upon him, the Spirit of the Lord also is resting upon us. Because as the Lord Jesus is, so are we in this world. Why? Because we have accepted the Lord as our Lord and Savior. Because we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the same way, hallelujah, that Luke 4:17 claims, right? And I need to go back there. Amen. Listen, because the Spirit of the Lord is resting upon you and me, that means we have been anointed now to preach the good news to the world. Amen. We have been anointed now to heal the brokenhearted. We have been anointed to set the captives free. We have been anointed to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Lay hands on the blind and have them their sight come back. Amen? Mm-hmm. As the Lord is, so are we in this world.
Amen.
Everything that the Lord Jesus accomplished through the anointing of God, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we also can accomplish in His name. In His name. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. We see the disciples, they were anointed. They received the Holy Spirit. They had divine authority that the Lord Jesus Himself gave them. Behold, I give you authority. Now you have dominion and power to come against all these entities. Amen. They were anointed for service. They were fully equipped for ministry. And when they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they began with more force to do ministry. With more force. And they shared the good news. And the churches began to grow and be filled. Amen. Hallelujah. So today, church, we have the Spirit of the Lord. What the Lord Jesus accomplished, we can accomplish too today. Amen. And in order to do that, we need the presence of God. Amen. We don't need more programs, right? We don't need more talent. We don't need more human ability. We got everything. We have been fully equipped by the Lord Jesus Christ, fully anointed for the service of His work. And the reality is that without the Spirit of the Lord, we just have activity. But when the Spirit of the Lord come and rest upon us, we have transformation.
Amen.
We have change. There is impact. Amen. Hallelujah. So when we truly know and we acknowledge what we have, amen, and what we can do through Christ Jesus, because He's the one working through us and in us, we can go out there, church, we can bring about change, we can bring about transformation, we can impact the world with the anointing that God has placed in our lives.
Amen.
We don't need any more faith, we don't need any more giftings, we have been fully equipped, we've been fully abled to do what the Lord Jesus did here on earth. As He is, so are we in this world. Amen. So the Spirit of the Lord today reminds us that we're not called to serve God in our own strength, but by His power.
Amen.
By His power. Amen. Not our power, but it's the Lord's power working through us to accomplish all that He has called us to do right here, right now, in this world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I hope you receive this teaching, church. Amen.
Amen.
God is just growing us and He's just preparing us for the multitude that we're going to be reaching out there. Amen. And I pray you are blessed by this teaching because I know I was.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.